Welcome to this session of Outcast and Outclassed.
Let's blow up some more punch!
I don't have any major announcements. I will just once again say check out club.wafflesmaplesyrup.com. This is, if I'm repeating myself to anybody who's watching us live, it's because all of the VOD viewers and all of the podcast listeners hearing me They're for here the very now. First Hi, time.
Hello.
Basically, TLDR is that we have a cool website and we have a cool merch place. And if you like what we do and if you like the show, please consider supporting us and helping us continue to make this happen because it's not free. And if you're not willing or ready or able to commit to monthly subscription-based things, we do have one-time things as well. Any support you want to send our way would be much loved and appreciated. That is it for my announcements. So I will go right to today's sponsors with Maria.
Oh my gosh. We are sponsored by Eldritch Osiris Games. You may have heard of them before. They're the first TTRPG co-op in the internet history, at least. But did you know that they release stuff as well as help other people release stuff? That's right, they just had a brand new release as of very shortly ago. Today. As of today. Of this today.
Of this today.
Of this pie day.
Of this pie Thursday. Day. It's called Found Path. Specifically, the Ranger Edition. But Found Path seeks to simplify understanding Pathfinder 2nd Edition by limiting the amount of choices you need to make. I am bad at making decisions. This is something that would be super helpful. The Ranger class is a class with many paths through it, from dual-wielding weapons, being a master hunter, having a companion. Found Path Ranger adds survival acumen class feature to the Ranger class, which gives you the Ranger feats necessary to have a Ranger hunting style. It's perfect for beginners for Pathfinder 2E to see how the Ranger class functions and the many different styles of Ranger that you can play. So go and check out EldritchOsirisGames.com. Go check out their socials as well, at Eldritch Osiris on, I think, most platforms. But you can find out all their information on their website as well. So go check out their new releases and all the other cool and wonderful things that they have going on. EldritchOsirisGames.com.
Heck yeah. Thank you. You're welcome. Eldritch Osiris Games. So, with that, I guess we'll see you in class.
Oh God, it's happening! Oh no,
it's
happening!
Welcome back. So, hey.
Good.
We're in. So wait.
Turns out with my three screens, I still don't have enough room, and I am clicking on the right side of Sirenscape, which maxes the volume.
Listen, empathize with this wholeheartedly. I don't have enough space.
I have one screen right now.
Moo. This is the worst, isn't it? It is. All right, y'all. So, last we left off. The outcasts had found themselves at the wrong end of a 6-person ambush in the northern part of the city. Ignacy cleverly suggests that they move the scuffle to a nearby public garden for the purpose of keeping the city and its civilians safe while they fight for their lives. The enemy makes it clear who they work for and their intent as they fight. Death on the mind of for the enemy, the tide ebbed and flowed dangerously during battle. Ark saw a vision of himself that he did not like. Arafe utilized some new and unfamiliar magics, and Hideaki began to tread further into dangerous paths to prove how far he would reach. And Tal nearly walked a familiar and deadly path. However deadly, the outcasts could not be bested and found victory in the burning, eventually discovered to be carnivorous, public garden with a cost. Matters mostly settled, Ignacy makes clear their dissatisfaction with how the events of the battle transpired. They don't believe that this type of behavior is what the Magambia stands for, and Ignacy, still wounded, exits the garden, head held high. As the party moves to check on their fallen foes, Arafe spotted their runaway still peeking into the garden. Ark and Hideaki take matters into their own hands, questioning Jaya firmly on what happened, why they did it, and what they know. With many questions asked and even more unanswered, Hideaki resolves to continue to help Jaya and agrees to help them escape the city and, by proxy, their eventual death by the hands of one Froglick. Split on the decision to help Jaya, Arafei and Tal leave it to Hideaki, while Ark decides to help, believing Jaya to be a dead person walking either way. Back on campus, Tal, shaken, self-isolates as soon as they can, the events of the past few days catching up with them. Arafei, on the other hand, spots Ignacy emerging from Janatima's office, likely recounting the events of the past few days. And that's where we pick back up, but not before quickly saying that if you like that recap, genuine, a wonderful thanks to our lore keeper, Freckle Sketches. All right.
Amazing job.
That was good.
Woo! It was so good. It was wonderful. Better than I do, so hey. Well, we're going to pick right back up to... Let's go into the Sprout House, because one of the things that... One of the main impacts of the intensity of the battle that have just passed was felt none stronger than by one Taliatia. So... As the cameraman magically zooms through the door.
Camera chicken.
It's always, I love that trick, you know, when they just like close the door. So good. Definitely magic. Oh, yes, of camera course, the camera chicken. Phases through this door. What do we see inside Tal's room?
Tal is... I think in this moment, Tal is sitting, in the middle of their room, crisscross legs, and is... kind of hunch their shoulders a little bit, and their fingers are tapping on their knees. And their eyes are kind of shifting about, like they're really thinking about a lot of... There's a lot of thoughts happening in their head all at the same time. And they're trying something that they don't regularly fall back on, which is processing information as much as they can.
Yeah, physically, I'm sure that it is a very odd physical feeling. While the immediate conditions of the poisons and everything that were taking their toll on you have definitely since faded out of your system. I mean, you were the definition of the song of I get knocked down, I get back up again.
Chumbawamba.
Yeah,
so, exactly.
But you were healed to full multiple times throughout this. But there's dried blood on your jacket and your clothes. There is that still has to leave a soreness and a pain after everything you've gone through.
Yeah.
So as you're sitting here tapping, trying to process, what's going through your mind? Anything in particular standing out?
The biggest things that Tal is mulling over right now is over the past few days, because it has only been a handful of days and they've been busy, they have not once but twice been used as some sort of bargaining token. And while that has been unsuccessful both times, it's still a frustrating situation to be in. One that kind of feels a little they feel a little helpless in like that scenario. Or rather, they feel like they should be stronger than that. They should be strong enough to not be so easily taken advantage of in that situation.
Yeah.
And
you've
so there's
been at this school for a while now. And yeah. you know through all of your experiences that you've grown stronger. Your control of your magics, the intensity of the magic you can cast has grown mm-hmm. stronger. And yet this continues to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a high level of frustration that Tal is feeling. There's also this bit of fear that's kind of been there for it's been there since they met and grew to like this cohort, but this fear of not wanting their weakness to be the reason that other people get hurt, whether it's people that they care about or even in this situation, the people who were attacking them, did they have to all die? If I was stronger and could help stop it, did they have to die? And it's kind of added on to that with this whole entire thing. This particular fight is a new thought of, I don't want my weakness to be the reason I keep getting hurt all the time. Mm-hmm.
Sitting there as you're tapping, Nim jumps down onto the floor with their like front paws on your knee, like kind of like standing up there. What's wrong, little sister?
Never called me that before.
Oh. What would you like, Tal?
It's fine. It just caught me off guard a little bit.
They just kind of stretch on your leg.
I'm a little concerned, Nim, that I haven't, that I'm not as strong as I think I am. Because if I was, then I don't want to keep getting in the way.
Sometimes when there's a lot of strings in play, it's easy to get tripped up and all tangled up in them. But if you can find the opening thread, you can unwind it. I think you're getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
I think you can. If you don't like getting caught in the threads, maybe weave them into something different. You can do that.
What do you mean?
Look. They kind of bound off. You've dropped your pack at this point. And they kind of jump in and start rummaging through it eventually. But out, crawling backwards out of the bag. They have in their one kind of paw, like held up the spool of thread. And it's fold back up. You did that.
How? I didn't. It wasn't intentional. And Tal's just going to reach for it and grab it.
When you use their power, when you use what your power is, when you use it, it does it.
Oh.
You want to make me like a...
I would love to roll any dice you tell me. I would love to roll all my dice. I would love, that's my favorite one! Make it to the right page. Hip, tap, tap, tap. I don't need to change pages, it's right there. 25. Also, happy level 6, everyone.
Happy Ooh. Level 6. I was gonna get there.
Woo!
You Let's go.
Are trying to figure out what Nim is really referring to. Obviously, mm-hmm. their words are not very clear, and they're giving you enough, though, and you begin to, like, try to, like, patternize and pull some things, and you know that you think to, like, the specific time that you went back to your Norn and spent a day or a dream with the youngest one as she taught you about how to find certain threads that face towards the future. The equivalent of fortune effects, if we were to put in mechanical terms. When you impact the future, that seems to be what Nim is referring to. That's what you are given. That was the power that you've been given. That's what you were been taught. That's when you do that, you felt the spool shift in your pocket before. And you wonder what that really means for you.
I think Tal sits for a little bit in silence, just like looking at this spool of full thread and kind of spinning it slowly in their fingers. And the moment in the fight where their patron through Nim whispered to them, are you just going to let yourself be a punching bag, or do you want to take things into your own hands? And urging Tal to show everyone what they can do, and how Tal's thoughts in those moments were, of course, I don't want to be someone's punching bag because it hurts and I'm tired of hurting and I don't want to have to keep relying on others to save me all the time. And I want people to know that I'm strong and capable and that I don't want to let myself be taken advantage of so many times. And I think mulling all of these things over in their head and looking deep into this thread, Tal realizes that they perhaps have been ignoring the biggest source of potential power, or not ignoring, fighting against the biggest source of potential power and growth that they possibly could tap into, and that is their patron. That is this strange, mysterious entity that they still don't trust, and probably won't for a while or ever, really. But they look, and if this was a movie scene, it would be a rack focus from the thread to Nim. And
in that camera shift, and you're thinking back to that moment where you took hold of those threads in the fight, and you've been staring at this thread, and as you focus shifting over to Nim, you see this translucent shifting there and not there thread in front of you, connecting you to Nim, and you see two more leaving from the tips of their tails. And you kind of look down to yourself and you see other threads all around you. Your shifting vision in that moment. You recall that you've seen things like this a few times before. When you're deep within calling into this power, into your patron, that's when you see the strings around you. That's when you see the strings of fate. And for that moment, you see it as well.
Tal kind of drifts a hand around these phantom threads, essentially, her open hand, and they make a choice. And they grab onto the thread, the spool of thread that was in their other hand. They, instead of spinning it, they just take it in their hand. And they look at Nim. And they hold out their open hand to invite Nim to go up onto it.
Which they do.
And Tal like pulls them up so that they're eye level and says, I'm sorry I haven't taken it seriously up until now, but I need to know more and I need to get stronger.
You see Nim's tails flick happily and their ears perk up and give you the equivalent of a little ferret smile. They nod, jump up around your neck, kind of curl settling in, happily nuzzling into you, and give a little yawn as they go, I'll let them know. And we'll fade out of this moment, if that's okay with you.
Yep.
Dun, dun, dun. We will, as everybody kind of settles from the timing differences, as eventually Hideaki returns, Ark returns. That evening passes. I don't remember even. I don't recall what time. I mean, I know that Ark and Hideaki get home rather late. And is there anything in particular, Arafe? And this is, you don't have to. I just want to check in because you've had a little bit more time than Ark and Hideaki do. Is there anything in particular you need before the end of this day?
No. Arafe took a lot. Honestly, took a lot of damage in that battle, too. So, She's tired. She's probably going to pass out very fast.
Amazing.
I think I looked at it and I took something around like 78 or so damage during that battle.
Jeez.
So.
No big deal. Just
got to heal myself. Oh. It's fine.
Damn. All right, so we're going to move forward to, well, honestly, probably the very next day. As you all gather for breakfast, you guys going to the food hall?
Yeah.
I think so.
Indeed.
Sure.
and I will say, if Ark's doing training in the morning, Hideaki joins him.
Okay.
He is.
You're like just beginning to grab your plates and grab your foods and sit down. There's like this, whatever weight that is kind of sitting on everybody after the events of the following day, of the previous day, when the door to the dining hall opens and Benji comes running in, straight kind of beelining it to you all. I'm so sorry to bother you all, but this was delivered just right after you left it, and he said it was important, and to tell you, sorry, not a message, not a letter. Like there's nothing in their hands. But Janetimo stopped by and asked you all to meet them at their office as soon as possible.
Okay.
Okay.
After breakfast.
She nods in and runs off.
Thanks, Benji. May or may not be good.
Why so?
Yeah. Don't we have to update them anyway?
Yeah.
True. I did see Ignacy coming out of there last night. As well.
Ignacy probably updated them.
True, but... Ignacy didn't seem too impressed with us, and I'm a little concerned how he conveyed what we did things.
Well, I'm sure he conveyed it the way that he saw things.
Yeah. That could be a little bad, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty confident that it's probably bad.
Do you say he seemed impressed?
No, Mark? No. Do we seem impressed with us?
Oh.
I think we did good things and not so great things. I think overall, we executed what we were supposed to do. Just maybe a little more abrasively than we should have.
I think to put it another way, I think we did good enough things, but maybe in a bad way. I don't think all of those people had to die, honestly. I don't think a park needed to be burned down to complete this chapter of whatever we're working on.
I think the people needed to die. They seemed like they were very adamant. But yes, the plants didn't do anything.
Well, by that same logic, we were pretty adamant about not dying.
Sure. And if they decided you needed to die, which they did, would you rather roll over?
Tal doesn't answer and just picks at the food on their plate.
I feel worse about the plants than the people.
That's striking to me. Why?
Because they walked in to that park with death on their minds. Us or them.
So from their perspective, it was win or die. And we just needed to catch up.
I don't know if that's the right mentality that we need to be taking on.
I'm not saying it's the right mentality. I'm just saying that's what happened.
We could have left them there and let them kill Jaya.
Why would they have killed Jaya?
I don't know, but it's a possibility that could have came out. I'm just throwing all the possibilities out there and maybe hoping that you all don't play what ifs.
What ifs are important, though.
A little late for that. That was my entire evening before I went to bed.
What ifs are hindering?
What ifs make you consider up your other options?
You should consider all your options prior to a decision, and then not play what if after.
Think of it as a self-evaluation. Seeing how you did things and see how you can improve upon it. That's what a what if is.
So if Jaya led us into another ambush, you would do it differently.
I am just beginning to become uncomfortable with how comfortable I am killing. And my concern is, while sometimes it needs to happen, I can't deny that, but I don't want to hit a point where I become someone who destroys my adversaries because it's the simple choice.
Would you destroy innocence for a simple choice?
No.
Then can I ask a question?
Of course.
Why did you not want to help Jaya?
Feelings, honestly. But from what I have learned about Jaya, and maybe I need to know more, Jaya seems like someone who expects other people to fix their problems. But I don't know a lot about Jaya. I don't think they deserve to die at all. I don't think most people do. But just our last few battles, we have kind of gone into them of, it seems almost with the intent to destroy. Myself included. So I'm not saying it's others, it's me as well. And I'm just trying to evaluate how I can maybe start to savor life of others a little more.
You see Ark's like nodding along to the whole thing. There could visibly be like a rewinding in his mind. He like goes back a minute to like the point he was talking about, which was Jaya. He kind of looks at you and says, you said emotions.
Yeah.
Would you do it differently?
Knowing how it turned out? Maybe. Maybe not engaging, just leaving, because what was the point?
Yes, I understand. Specifically talking about helping Jaya or not.
Oh. No. Honestly, I don't think I'd do that any differently.
So if you found them dead, you would be... there would be no what-ifs.
There would be. Absolutely. The hard part about what-ifs is there's what-ifs about the what-ifs. Because that's what would have happened then. It's a cycle. I have anxiety, Ark. What a lie.
That seems like something you should get rid of.
You know,
Tal chuckles at that.
I very much agree with you. Ooh, stars seeping through.
Ark, if you can find a way to get rid of things like anxiety, you will be the strongest magical person in the entire known existence.
Well, it
without
sounds like
a lobotomy.
Yes, without physically altering a person.
Sure.
Arafe legitimately thinks he's starting to work on that.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, totally.
There's a new quest or goal in the quest log. Mm-hmm. Exclamation point of poke shows up above Tal.
throughout the course of this conversation, you're eating your breakfast, but you know there's only so much you can delay.
We have to go.
Yeah. I think for me, the thing I'm stuck on is making sure that I've done everything I could to resolve as much as I can. I think for me, it's the what if I'm stuck on is, did I have to do what I did? Because right now, I believe so. Because if I hesitated or I didn't, and one of us weren't sitting here, then I would really regret it.
I can understand that too.
I think the thing I'm even more stuck on too is the fear in their eyes. They weren't scared of dying. They were scared of frog legs.
In Arafe's mind, she just keeps she wants to ask the question, but she is not going to of, do you still want to chase them?
All right, so you eventually all head out, lining up in front of Genesima's office. Knocking on the door? Question mark.
My turn to knock.
The door opens shortly. Gentimo is there without his usual jovial presentation. I think immediately as the door opens, that will hit anybody that is watching for it.
Yep.
Hello. Please come in. Opens the door.
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
You all walk inside, closes the door behind you. As you walk into the office, you see Teacher Ott standing there as well.
Your adversary.
Not all of you.
No, I like him now.
Gentimo kind of lets out a sigh as he follows you into the room. I have been apprised of some troubling news. And I wish to speak to you all about it.
From Ignasi?
Only in part. But yes, specifically, Ignasi let me know of some of yesterday's details. And you see him kind of looking across at each of you, like just very much taking you all in. Teacher Ott is like, he doesn't have a stern face. He has like a worried face, perhaps. So, since I don't see anybody jumping to explain, I will simply let you know.
I can explain.
Which in particular are you going to explain?
Which one would you like me to?
Kind of sits down at the desk in front of him. And up until now, whenever you've met with him, he does sit at his desk sometimes, but is usually kind of like leaning or sitting on the corner of the desk or like something like that. But he sits like in his chair and he kind of like brings it properly in front of him. And he kind of opens up a notebook that he has. Well, from my notes, I see that you have been skipping weeks and weeks worth of classes. You have done significant damage to public works of the city of Natambu. You have left dead bodies to the public. Not to mention, been the source of their death.
The bodies were this time, I assume.
This time?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, because we've left no other dead bodies other than bugs prior to this.
Yes. What concerns me is this is not actions and behavior fitting of conversants of the Magambia. And this is not fitting to the wonderful stories that Teacher Ott has personally given to me about each of your potentials.
Why not?
He looks to any of the other three if they wish to.
I apologize for my silence. Usually when I'm about to be punished for something, I like to just let whoever it is just run through with what they need to say before I respond. I think mainly the situation that we find ourselves in is, as new conversants, is we started out as a small figure out a poltergeist situation has escalated into a lot more. And where that leaves us is, as of at least right now, as far as I know, targets on our back. That was before this ambush that we survived. Barely. You know, we were just discussing this morning the idea of what ifs and things that we would do differently. And I said it to everyone earlier, and I'll say it to you. I feel bad about the park. I'm sure that in any other scenario, I would enjoy it. But when I look as my friend is being stabbed to death, and I see an opening, I took it.
I'm not unfamiliar with the situation that you're referring to. I've been in my share of life or death situations. You see Teacher Odd like nodding. That does not excuse us from the responsibility of making wise and impactful choices. I understand your want to save a friend. But in those moments when we have the option and the opportunity, however quick thinking and however sudden those moments come upon us, what I would hope from the teachings of this school is the decision of what can I do to save my friend and not cause excessive and unnecessary damage to the surroundings. An explosion of fire in the middle of a city. We are lucky that the extent of the damages did not range farther than those plants.
I understand.
Her face building up courage to say something.
I think he pauses and kind of looks over to you.
I don't disagree that we need to stand forth the consequences of our actions. This is true. There were mistakes made on this one. But in this list of mistakes we've made, where are the accomplishments that we've done at the same time? We upheld a wall that was crumbling that the city refused to help. We did that research on our own. We, rather than taking out busker muggers, we brought them in to the Chime Ringers, including the ones that got injured. We cured them and brought them up. I do understand that this is not excusable. We need to have the consequences of those actions. But in our history of everything we've done, this is not something that happens to us normally. And I don't, and she'll look at Hideaki, don't agree with the use of the fireball. Hideaki didn't just lob it mindlessly. It was an unfortunate choice. We saved what we could. Were there other options? Maybe. But I don't think we should be put in the light of being reckless.
I understand and appreciate you taking the courage to rebut in such a way. And you see him soften a little. You are correct that you have many accomplishments under your belt. And he kind of smiles and looks over at Teacher Ott. And Teacher Ott kind of steps forward as well. I am, Teacher Ott saying, I am immeasurably proud of how strong you are all getting. Truly. To hear of those accomplishments eases some of the anxiety. I just can't help but look to your attendance in this moment. The responsibilities of a conversant are no easy thing. Representing the city, representing the school to the city, on top of your studies. But it's a thing, perhaps balance is the word to use here. And kind of looks back at Janatimo. Yes, I think that would be a good word. I understand. It's not easy being the good guys. We have so much to consider. And at times, it feels like there is no good, easy choice. What I want to ensure is that in your continued education here at this school, you continue to learn the options at your disposal so you can feel confident in the decisions you make.
I know I can only speak for me, not the others, but obviously if there is a punishment warranted, we will do that. I just don't want it to overshadow everything else.
I understand. That is noted.
I have no problem with I agree with Arafa 100%. I think it was just easy to chase when you know that you're impacting lives. We talked about the buskers earlier. Like, we may have saved many people just with our involvement.
It's tough to... The lives that you've taken?
Only in self-defense.
I think those lives were expiring regardless.
Janatimo frowns deeply.
I'm not trying to, like, get rid of responsibility on this.
Hideaki.
It was...
Is any one life worth more than another?
No. I don't think so.
So the lives... does Ark nod?
Yeah, for sure.
You see him pause for a second, look at Ark. Decide to continue. Those individuals that came to attack you, I'm not excusing their actions. Do you know their life stories? Do you know what brought them to that moment? I don't. But the lives of the buskers that you've saved, or the shop that you kept afloat, I don't value those over them, over the ones you've killed.
Well, I think so. The piece of the proverbial pie that you're missing is, even though the two that we brought to the Chimeringers apparently are dead too, this frogless person scares them so much that they would rather die at our hands than run away or be arrested.
That is concerning, and we can look into that.
Sure.
But I think that is distracting from the point. Are you saying your only option was to bring them to the Chimeringers and have them die anyways, so you chose to kill them yourself?
No. So the buskers, the individuals that were mugging the buskers, we brought to the Chimeringers, and the people we fought last night told us they were dead, even though we left them at the Chimeringers alive.
And this has been confirmed?
We have no idea. We heard it last night.
Very well, we can have that confirmed, but...
The ones that ran away, and Ark, like, purposely interrupts on a breath. The ones that ran away from the fight that we didn't get to bring to the Chimeringers did die.
By your hand?
No.
Hideaki, legs, I think. Hands them the note that they were given.
Kind of looks it over for a moment. Hands it off to Teacher Ott, who reads it as well.
Can I ask a slightly offhanded, maybe pissy question?
Yes, I want to entertain these questions, but I need to make sure that this is explicitly clear. If you have the options in a fight between killing and knocking unconscious, and then with clear time and clear thought deciding what the next step is, what I need from each of you is a clear understanding here. Which of those two will you choose?
To be honest, we have already had that conversation with each other this morning.
Before you see him, like, soften a little.
That was a conversation we had.
I have an argument after Airface question.
Do each of you, like, basically agree with, like, the you will all knock them unconscious over killing?
Aerophane, immediately.
Yeah, Tal probably would pretty soon after. Tal hasn't talked a whole lot during this because Tal's kind of on the side of Genetimo and Ott pretty wholeheartedly about kind of everything that they had said. But they'll,
and I think he sees that in your body language as well, which is why he hasn't like targeted you.
Yeah.
Hideaki like sits on it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's like a, almost like the edge of a rebuttal. And then he nods.
Ark has not nodded yet.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
With your, you said you had a rebuttal.
After Airface question.
Airface pissy question.
But then this was interrupted in the middle of it too. So like to this question from Genetimo, like to make it explicitly clear, Ark hasn't nodded yet. He hasn't said no either. He's just like kind of sitting in the middle. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can give it. Depends on how long Genetima gives it, but it's like Ark would give it 3-4 minutes straight.
No, so what we'll do is he's watching you and he will require your answer, but while this is happening, Erfe.
I'm just wondering if you had this conversation with Ignacy as well.
What do you mean?
Ignacy killed 2 of the 6 individuals in that fight.
I don't believe, out of character, I don't believe he did.
No, he did. The 2 on the side, he did.
He knocked 1 down. Hideaki got the kill on the second.
Okay, he got 1 then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, and the first one... I didn't think about this. as a GM, out of character. But he would have... probably knocked the 1 down. And then I think it got caught in the fireball or something like that.
Okay. Wasn't that the one that was eaten by the plant?
No.
No, that was a different one. But what we'll say for the purposes of this, because I do, that is a very fair point, and I, out of character, was thinking that he didn't. So
okay, then I will just retract that, and that whole thing did not happen. Perfect. Rewind didn't happen.
Valid, though. Really good point.
I'm like, girl, you killed people too.
Yeah, right? Yeah, hypocrite. Right,
the only time we've killed people is when Ignacy was with.
We're trying to save his ass. No.
Never mind. Retract. Canon I mean, specific. It's... Didn't ask
that. That brings such a good point for me, though. I almost... Hold on. Hold on, let me
you
think.
We're going off book.
Erefe perceived that he did, so whether or not he did is a different thing. She will still ask that question, and we can move from there.
Okay, I like that, thank you. Because here's what's going to happen. I think from all of you, because I know you all checked the bodies and everything, right? From everything here, for sure, he only downed 1. And I know that Hideaki got the second kill on the other one. With the fire.
Definitely.
Yeah. So we will say that it is very possible that Erefe left that thinking that Ignacy killed the other one.
Which, because Erefe doesn't actually trust Ignacy that much, she may have assumed he conveniently left out that bit of information with the conversation.
Which also means that somebody might be alive. Oh god!
Could.
In which, so when you say that, so we'll say that you did say it.
Yeah.
I don't recall him mentioning that, and I will look into it.
Not trying to belittle our position in this, it's just...
Understood.
You know what they say, facts are facts.
I do have a question.
Yes, Ark.
You're saying that we, no matter what, we should attempt to not kill someone.
I'm saying that not killing should be your first resort.
Yes. Should it be our first resort if it only has a 1% chance of success and killing has a 99% chance? Or should we put our lives in danger? No, Ark is sincere.
Yeah, I think he sees that. And he nods.
Even with magic... Sorry.
There is no formula in which I can tell you. Every situation is different, and your perspective of a fight, of a combat... of any moment, from your angle and your interpretation of events, may look different than someone standing 2 feet away from you. So I'm asking only that you do your utmost. I cannot ask you to risk your lives, but I also see in you each people that have shown me that they are willing to risk for the sake of doing good for the school, for people in general.
Art gives like a little half bow, half nod, and then as if it's debate class and he's supposed to say something, he says, one last argument. If it were to result in someone that would do good for 90 years dying right then, why not just kill them and revive them later, much like we did Tao?
Revival magic is not one to rely on, Ark. We are eternally grateful that Tal has returned to us, but that was no assured thing.
I understand. But it worked.
It did.
It is just another path.
A life is infinitely complex, Ark. Do not try to weigh it with a number.
So, I should risk myself. And he, like, in the middle of this, probably gets a little more sarcastic. He goes, I should risk myself and the immense good I would do for continued years. Maybe immeasurable due to my making. And not kill someone who is going to do bad for many years further. Understood. And he's going to step back.
Giantimo kind of looks to Teacher Ott. They share a look. Teacher Ott's like, go ahead.
Are any of the runes showing at this point?
Right now.
Or is this just Ark being Ark? Okay.
It's just Ark.
Arafae instantly looks for them at any time now.
Yeah. I think Genetimo's gaze lingers on you for a long while, and you can tell that he is thinking. Eventually, he kind of shares another look with Teacher Ott and lets it go. To show your dedication to correcting your wrongs and to ensure your safety as well, given the events of yesterday. The following measures are what will be put in place. First, you are to stay on campus.
Will the city be okay without us?
Yes.
Okay.
Second, and the only exception, is community repair work, which you will volunteer for once a week. It will begin with work at the Carnivorous Gardens. Kind of looks over at Teacher Ott. Bring Teacher Zuma in, please. And Teacher Ott will step out.
Like, you see Arafae instantly just kind of go,
oh. No, not Teacher Ott.
as Teacher Ott walks out, can I talk to you for a second in a minute?
After this, yeah.
Okay.
Of course. And he kind of steps out to the back, where, you know, like, Giantimo's, like, living quarters kind of extend there and up. A moment later, you hear Teacher Ott come back in alongside, following him is Teacher Zuma. You all know them as a orc, rather short individual, Glasses, yeah.
My main prof.
Frenetic energy to them. And they're actually stepping forth with one arm, like, patting another person's back, someone you are not familiar with. Next to them is another orc that looks oddly close to Zuma, familial, if you will, but feminine. As Teacher Ott comes in with Teacher Zuma and this other individual, they step forward. Yes.
Can Waffles make a joke before we get into the super serious stuff?
Yes.
All right. I just want to know what this feels so name of the wind to me.
Really? Oh, yes, it does. Yeah, like Aridin. Yes.
Yeah, like when they have to stand court, basically.
Yes. Oh, on the horn. Oh, God. All right. Sorry. I'm a very big fan of Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. Read it. Recommend it. Okay, anyway,
I was about to Google it. I'm like,
what? No, you're good. That's a deep cut. It's fine.
I need to read his
Love. Patrick Rothfuss is great.
It's a pretty epic novel I haven't read in a while.
No, not going down this rabbit hole. Okay. We'll talk all about that another time.
Post game talk. So,
the individual that is that Teacher Zuma seems to be consoling, familial resemblance, female orc that does have like red rimmed eyes a little bit. You can tell that she's been like sniffling. And as they kind of get escorted in, the office space being a little cramped at this point, Teacher kind of sides to the side. And Donatima goes, thank you, Teacher Zuma here will be the one accompanying you for all each day in which you will be heading out off campus. So you will not be unaccompanied and you will not be unprotected at the same time. But beyond the chaperone duties that Teacher Zuma will be taking on, I found it important for you all to meet his sister, Atofo. And she kind of sniffles and, like, she's not making eye contact with you all. And Teacher Zuma is giving you major stink eye. Natofo here is the caretaker of the Carnivorous Gardens.
Okay.
We are extremely sorry for the damage that was done.
Hold on, Arafe, that's not fair. You shouldn't have to. This was on me. I made the decision. And looks them in the eye and kind of does like a kind of a quarter bow. I'm very sorry. I hope that I can help you.
She's just like a little uncomfortable, but also just like... My poor babies. And you could, in this small moment in the back, even though it is not appropriate to the energy of the space, you see a similar eccentricity to perhaps Zuma. And you think about what interesting days ahead are in store for you. Community dread. Reconstruction.
There's so much dread in Arafe because she's in Zuma's classes.
He actually likes teaching Zuma, so it's fine.
Peek behind the curtain, via the book, yes, Teacher Zuma's sister does indeed run the Carnivorous Gardens, and that was too good to pass up, so.
That's awesome. I love it. Very grateful. Yeah.
That is basically what's been charged of you. You are going to be staying on campus, and once a week, basically, be doing community repair. You are to attend all your classes. You are to be given makeup work and blah, 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 blah. And, like, the details of that are all going to be given to you. Mechanically, in upcoming downtime, for all of your study checks, the real mechanical, oh no, the consequences of my actions, for all of your study checks, you will, whatever you roll, will be 1 degree less than what you rolled. So if you roll a success, you will roll a failure. If you roll a failure, you roll a critical failure. You cannot roll a critical success.
That's sure gonna suck for somebody, huh?
And that is simply from, like, having missed so much of school. Now, this aside, this will be basically wrapped up, but I know that some folks wanted to stay behind and talk to individually. So before we wrap up in the group setting, as apologies are made to Natofu and Zuma and all, and the plans and details are made of your schedules and all of those things happen, is there anything else?
Well, before we break away from the group,
yeah,
Arafe going to also bring something up of, we're also currently trying to find something for Lissetti that is a very time sensitive thing. We need, yep, that statue. So, she will bring up what they're looking for and see if they can find someone to help us since we are being contained, so that that can continue and that person doesn't have a poltergeist throw rocks at their head.
Yeah, the which is, thank you for bringing that up. The have confirmed from Janitimo is that they are going to continue to look into Frog Legs and hopefully locate her whereabouts so that that can be found.
Hideaki will make sure to bring up the gambling den in that case.
Understood.
So essentially, we're going to give them everything we know so that they can continue in the best way, yes, possible.
And on the way out, Ark is going to politely let Teacher Genetimo and Ott know that he doesn't regret anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then let Zuma's sister know that he had nothing to do with destroying the plants.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. We'll start with Hideaki wanted to hang back, correct?
I did.
After Teacher Zuma is like, I don't remember the voice. I know it was really like ornery though. I was like, come. Let's get you some tea. Kind of goes, pats out with the tofu. I think everybody steps outside. Genetimo does mention, as you all are leaving, as Teacher Ott says, I'll be right back. It goes, yes, I have something else I want to talk to you about, is what you hear before you all step out. This was to Genetimo saying to Teacher Ott, as Teacher Ott follows you all outside so that you can have a conversation with Teacher Ott.
Oh, so?
Yeah.
So I've been meaning to tell you something for a really long time. And I meant to specifically at the Conversa ceremony, but sort of the celebration got away from me. The past year and whatever, I really took you for granted. I challenged you without understanding really anything about this place. Especially with the goings on lately, I'm, for better or for worse, really starting to understand that a lot better now. So, what I'm trying to say, I guess, is...
He places a hand on your shoulder.
What I'm trying to tell you is that I'm really sorry. And also, thank you for having so much patience with me, even though I didn't deserve it.
Now, two things. First, Can I have a hug?
Yeah.
And he gives you a big hug. And then he, kind of pulling apart from you, one hand on either shoulder this time, like not fully separating from you. You're probably eye level, honestly. I mean, you're
not a tall, tall
considering. Yeah. He looks you dead in the eye. You do deserve it. And you did deserve it. Always. Without patience, there is no growth. And kind of glances over to the office. Despite everything that's going on, I know it hasn't been easy. And I'm still proud of you. You're doing amazing. A little course correction, that's all. That's okay.
You're so fucking nice!
He kind of laughs. And the way I, like, am envisioning this, right, is that you two have, like, stepped off to the side, but the group is waiting for you, enough to give some privacy, but not to fully walk away. And as you sort of step away, and he's laughing at you, Arafae, do you kind of step forward?
Yeah, once I see Hideaki is done moving away, she's actually going to go up to Ott as well.
Heck out.
We give high fives as we pass. your turn, fam. But she's going to go to Ott and just kind of try and get her thoughts together and say, I have been thinking about what you brought up before today.
Remind me?
The trying to not cause damage and not cause harm.
Yes.
I've been trying for a while to figure out how to pull back spells. And apparently it is something more arcane in nature that I'm not able to grasp. And I was wondering if you've helped me before. And I was wondering if maybe I can ask for your help again.
He smiles brightly. Arafae, are you asking a teacher if he would like to help teach?
I'm not in your classes.
Like that matters.
But Zuma's not going to help me.
Yes, the answer is yes, I'd be happy to. We would need to explore your particular flavor of magic and see what we can do here, but I'm honored that that is something that you're considering, and it honestly fills me with ease. So, thank you. And I'd be happy to. And then he kind of goes into, like, schedule mode of, like, yeah. After reorganizing classes and blah, 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 blah happens.
I have extra classes on top of cram study.
Yeah, you find some office hours of personal time as that is his... kind of fades out of that.
Little behind the scenes of, yeah. I have to ask my DM because only wizards can learn non-lethal spell for some reason.
But you're at a magic school, said me the GM, and that just is not gonna happen.
This is why you talk about it makes sense for you, so we're gonna make it happen. So
yes, and now we flavored it in-game and I love it. So Hideaki having a small one-on-one with each out, followed by Arafae as you all group up. Is there anything else in the immediate of this moment? Is anybody else talking to Teacher Ott? Is anything else happening? Okay.
A question for the GM. On the way back, because I'm trying to remember the logistics. Do we have to walk through the, I don't know if it was like a garden or a gazebo, but like where the statues of like the, I forgot the name of the heroes of.
The 10 magic warriors. They ring around the campus. So they're, recall, we've actually have said that there was one close by to Janatima's office because there was a whole wild scene between Tal and Ark over there.
Sure was. Like, I don't know how wide a berth everyone's going, but, like, he'll, like, make up, not stop there, but he'll just, like, look and just kind of think to himself, like, did you ever do this shit? Did you ever deal with this shit? What's your fucking story?
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. I love that. And I think the camera kind of pans up to one of the magic warrior statues. The Black Heron, specifically. And it fades. Like, it stays there for a moment, a beat. Enough to make you as an audience watching this statue wonder if it's going to move, if it's going to respond, if it's going to react. And we're going to go to break.
Ah. So emotionally charged first half.
That's just the first half.
That's just the first half.